Join me on the platform, please.
My sins are
We say thank you to the choir for their practice and their opening our worship up this morning, and we are going to carry on with what they were saying. We are going to praise God for what he has done. First of all, let's read a few verses. These are from Matthew 28, and it says, "After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay.'" And it was empty. That tomb was empty. We are going to pray, and then we're going to stand and praise God for that wonderful story that we can all testify to this morning. Father God, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you that you are alive and living in our hearts. Father, we want to bring you all the praise this morning and celebrate this wonderful truth. It's not a story, it's history. And Lord, we thank you, and we want to bring that to you this morning. Lord, be glorified in all that we say, in all that we pray, and in all that we do in this service. We bless your holy name, for you are worthy of all our praises. Amen. Amen. Please do stand, and we're going to cast our minds to Calvary.
Yeah.
And again, that same message, but death was not the winner. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour. Have on Easter morning. Sorry, Joe, go again.
Yeah.
Let's praise him around the room. Please bring your prayers to God and give him all the honour and the glory. Amen. It's your victory, it's your glory, and we want to give it all to you. Father, we thank you for all that you did, for that terrifying day on Good Friday, and Lord, for this glorious day today. We want to bring you all the praise and all the worship. Yes, we do. Yay! Amen. I don't know who yayed, but yes, that's the right thing for today. It's a very yay day. It is indeed. I'm going to ask before just the children are going out this morning. The youth are staying with us, but the smaller children, the creche and Ignite, are going out. But before they do that, are there any birthdays today? No children that have had a birthday in the past couple of days or in the next couple of days? No, not a one. We have a little girl who comes to ABC. It's her birthday today. And I know that Jen's expecting a great-grandchild, and her due date was today. So his due date was today. So we don't know yet if we will have any birthdays this time next year. But it is good to have the children with us. Let's pray for them and bless them. And then they're going off to have some exciting activities. So let's pray for our children. Father God, we thank you for the babes and all the children and the youth. And Lord, we thank you that they are here worshiping you. And Lord, we know from last night that they could be in much worse places than being in your house this morning. Lord, we pray that you will hold on to their lives. Lord, that you will grow them with you, and that we will just be part of that nurturing process. And Lord, we thank you for those who are leading and planning and sorting things out this morning. And we pray that you would bless them all as they take part together. And Lord, we thank you for our youth. Lord, we thank you for yesterday evening, and that there was a movement of new hearts coming to you. Lord, we thank you for the way that you are blessing our lives. Amen. Amen. So the younger children could leave us, and we are going to stand and sing, because I don't think you can sing this one sitting down. Wonderful, so wonderful. Down to mercy over me. Cross the spoken mercy over me. Do take your seats and we will pray together. Father God, we want to thank you and praise you this morning, but Lord, we also want to bring to you the things that are in serious need of your touch around the world. Lord, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. And Lord, the world needs you more and more. Father, we pray for the countries that need you. Lord, we pray for the areas of conflict and famine and natural disasters and flooding and all different things that need you. And Lord, we pray for the individuals that need you, whether they live here in Sittingbourne or whether they live thousands of miles away. Lord, we pray for those who belong to you and, Lord, are probably working in some very difficult situations. Father, we pray for pastors and church leaders across the world. Lord, we pray for those who are persecuted. Lord, that have their churches burnt down or taken away from them or are imprisoned. And Lord, we pray that you would be their sole solace this Easter, that they would find joy in knowing the resurrected Lord. And Father, for those who need a touch from you for their own healing, whether it be spiritual, emotional, physical, Lord, we pray that for them. Father, we pray for those in our own fellowship who need a touch of your healing in the coming days and coming weeks. We pray that you would be close to them and, Lord, give them peace as they go through treatment. Lord, we thank you for the different treatments that are being undergone around our congregation. And, Lord, we thank you for the effect that they're having and that you are keeping people in your care. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you. We commit this whole family gathered here to you. And, Lord, we commit the world to you and ask for your intervention in every situation. So, Father, be with us. And, Lord, give us the ideas and the hands to be when we can help with someone. And Lord, we look around our own community and we pray that we would be helpers here, that we would show your love, and that people would recognize your love in us. Amen. Before Nathan comes to speak to us, we're going to sing one more song. And it's a very short song, so we're going to repeat the last little bit of it, because the words are so beautiful. Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood.
Father, we thank you so much for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in this special day. We thank you so much for the blessed resurrection of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. And we're grateful that because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone. And we thank you that we are people of the resurrection. We are people of new life, of new hope. And we pray, Lord, that as we come now to feast on your word, that you would speak to us today. Thank you for each and every person here this morning. And we pray that you would minister to our hearts. We all have varied needs, but you are the same God who is able to supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory through Christ Jesus. So we pray now that you would anoint me afresh as your servant, that you would hide me behind the cross, that your people would see you and only hear from you. To you be the glory, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. Worthy is your name, Jesus. Yes, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. That's beautiful. Worthy is your name, Jesus. He deserves the praise. Worthy is your name. Say it, church, say worthy. Worthy is your name,
Jesus.
He deserves the praise. Worthy is your name.
Worthy,
worthy, worthy is your name.
Jesus.
He deserves the praise. I'm going to ask the ladies to lead us. Just the ladies, just the ladies. Worthy. Sing it, ladies. Yes. Worthy. Who is he?
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You deserve the praise.
Come on, men. Don't let me down, men. Come on, brothers.
Worthy is your name.
Yes.
Jesus.
You deserve. Worthy. Come on, men.
Worthy is your name.
Jesus. He deserves the praise. Now we're going to sing it one last time. All together. Worthy.
Worthy is your name.
Jesus. He deserves the praise. Worthy is your name. One last time, worthy. Hallelujah.
Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. I want to call your attention on this Easter Sunday to the Gospel according to John and to chapter number 20. And you will see these words from verses number 24. It reads like this. Now Thomas, can we say Thomas?
Thomas.
Also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples, they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Would you repeat those words of Jesus with me? Stop doubting and believe. Say it one more time. Stop doubting and believe. And then Thomas, this is what Thomas had to say in response. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I'm going to pause there. I want you to call your attention to the screen for just a moment, and we're going to have a little video clip by way of introduction to the message today. Over to the team at the back. Turn it up some.
Game's night sorted. You know, we've got fellowship. We're going to do prayers, food.
Oh, nice.
This is
a lot of
nice.
Should we invite Thomas?
Last time we talked about faith, you seem pretty frustrated. I don't think we should.
But surely that's the reason why we should invite him, right?
Yeah, but he's our friend, though. We got to let him be around us.
Right, I text him.
Good. Who knows? Maybe tonight might mean something to him.
Four little to Arsenal today.
Come on.
No.
We've got to make it happen.
What is it?
Right, so it's a Christian meme game. You have to guess the Bible story from Clues. Right?
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, of course it is, isn't it?
Come on, bro.
Hey, relax. It's just a bit of fun.
Clue one, he walked on water.
Easy! Jesus!
Okay, what about this one? He came back to life after 3 days.
That's the easiest one yet.
Thomas, your turn to answer.
You guys really believe this stuff?
We do believe.
What, you really believe that someone died and came back to life again?
Yeah.
What, you're that confident? You're acting like you guys have actually met him and seen him?
Thomas.
Now seriously, man, you're acting like you've actually met him.
Faith doesn't mean we see everything.
Faith, yeah.
Thomas, come on, bro, come on.
What?
Why do you live like that, bro?
Because I'm tired of pretending. I understand what you lot believe in.
I get you. Your fears are valid, but you don't have to pretend.
Does it feel like I'm the only one who's asking questions?
Bro, questions are okay. It's okay, bro.
You all talk about Jesus like he's here, like he's real.
Bro, yes, because we believe he's real. He is real.
You've never seen him.
Faith isn't about seeing everything first, bro.
That's what I'm saying! That's exactly why I can't believe it!
Thomas, what would it take?
Look, I'm glad it works for you guys. I'm glad it works for you. But don't work for me.
Thomas, what would it take, bro? What would it take?
I'm not going to believe something just because everyone else does. I won't believe, yeah, until I can see him.
Is the proof of your faith? Christians, church, you claim that Jesus rose from the dead. You claim and you sing boldly on Easter Sunday that up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. You claim boldly that Jesus is alive, and you claim that Jesus can transform your very life. But like Thomas, throughout the generations, from the first century to the 21st century, many have asked the question, and still ask the question today, where is the proof? Where is the tangible proof, and where is the evidence that Jesus Christ is really alive? Thomas made it known to his disciples post the resurrection that unless I see him for myself, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and I put my finger where the nails were and I'm able to put my finger and thrust it into his side, Thomas made it known to his friends, I will not believe. And maybe there's someone here this morning, like Thomas, you have some doubts. You are skeptical about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe you have some questions, you have some reservations about the resurrection of Jesus. And maybe like Thomas, you are asking the question in your mind, the songs are nice this morning, communion was nice this morning, but where is the proof? Where is the evidence? Unless Jesus comes and shows himself to me personally, I refuse to believe. Unless I can sit down with him and go to Costa Coffee or Starbucks and have a chat with him, I refuse to believe. Maybe there's a young man here this morning who's thinking in your mind, unless I can get an explanation from this Jesus that you believe in and espouse, maybe if I can get an answer from him as to why my dad walked out on me when I was a child, then maybe, just maybe, I will believe. Maybe there's a woman here this morning, you are thinking in the corners of your mind, I'll believe in him if I can get some answers as to why I am unable to have children of my own. Maybe, just maybe, there is a spouse here today, and you are thinking in the corners of your mind, I'll believe in this Jesus that you believe in if I can get some answers as to why my spouse has cancer. Because to the human mind, belief is always predicated and based on, here it is, evidence. I believe it when I see it. I'll trust when trust is earned. That is the human mind and mentality when it comes to believing and faith. So number one, where is the proof? Well, allow me to try this morning, as a servant of Christ, to try and provide some evidence with the help of the congregation here this morning. One of the things that you and I, we know that if someone commits a crime in this country and you go to the police to report the crime, the first thing that the police would seek to do is, here it is, they will seek to assess the evidence. Because evidence is linked to proof. And evidence of proof, church, is what causes the jury, once you go to court, to convict a person of the crime. You've got to have some evidence to report a crime. So the problem for the Thomases around the world, around Sittingbourne, around this country today on Easter Sunday, is many are asking the question, where's the evidence? Show me the proof. When you show me the evidence and the proof, then I will believe. When I can see some evidence, then I will believe. Well, allow me this morning to turn this congregation into a courtroom for just a moment. Thomas and the many Thomases around the world, and maybe even in this congregation this morning, you want to see some evidence. You want to see some proof that Jesus is alive. Maybe there's some citizens of Sittingbourne here in the community who want to see some evidence. Where's the evidence, Nathan? Where's the proof? Well, let me call the roll this morning in the courtroom of SBC. Because I can't ask the disciples to be here and provide evidence because they're with the Lord. I can't ask the 500 witnesses, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians, that said that they saw Jesus, because they too, they're with the Lord. So if we're going to provide some evidence, I need the congregation of believers to help me out and to provide some evidence that Jesus Christ is truly alive and he is the resurrected King. Can I get some help this morning? Amen. Here's exhibit number one. Your Honor, my name is Nathan Gordon, and I've come to approach the bench, and I'm going to provide some evidence on behalf of all of the clients here in Sittingbourne Baptist Church. Is there anyone here this morning that you can testify and you can provide a witness testimony here this morning that you would have never have come to church some years ago? You would have never even imagined that you would be in church on Easter Sunday. But by the grace of God, your eyes came open to the good news of Jesus. And now, instead of being on the nightclubs on Saturday night, you are here in church in your right mind. And I want you to say with me, I am evidence that Jesus is alive because he changed my life. Hallelujah. Here's some more evidence. If this applies to you, I need you to scream, I am evidence. Is there anyone here this morning, you have been sick before, sick in your body, and you prayed and you asked someone to pray with you, and God provided a miracle of healing in your body? You know it was from God. The doctors couldn't do it. It was a supernatural miracle from God, a healing that only could come from him. If God has ever been a healer to you, would you say with me, I am evidence. Hallelujah. That God is a healer. Do we want some more evidence? Here's exhibit number 3. Is there anyone here this morning that you can be transparent and you can be honest that you used to, before you came to Christ, you used to have a potty mouth? Let's tell the truth. Let's shame the devil this morning. You used to use more cuss words than any urban dictionary could ever find. But since Jesus came into your life, you've now come down from 100 cuss words a day, and now you only say maybe about one every maybe month or so. If you, let's be honest. Come on, can someone say, I'm evidence. I'm evidence. He's not done with us yet. Here's some more evidence. Exhibit number 4. Maybe there's someone here this morning. You used to struggle with depression. You had anxious thoughts. You were fearful. You struggled to even get through the day because you were so depressed. You had a bleak mood and an attitude. But since Jesus came into your life, he gave you peace that surpasses all human understanding. You can't explain it. You can't describe it. But you know that God has given you this peace. And if that's you this morning, would you say with me, I am evidence that Jesus will give you peace. I'm here to encourage you this morning that if you need some evidence, you don't have to go back to the first century to look for some evidence. But you can look around this church even this morning. And if we had some time and we could go around with the microphone and listen to your testimonies, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do the same thing for you. There are some great living, tangible testimonies in this church today that Jesus can take someone who had a broken life and he can make something beautiful out of your life. Yeah. Evidence. Proof. I'm not talking about what we've heard. I'm not just talking about what we have read, although we do believe by faith in what we read. But I'm talking about real life, tangible life examples of how Jesus Christ has made the difference in our lives. We wouldn't be here this morning if it was just a fake and just fiction. But we're here today because we know Jesus to be real. Not just because we've read about him and we believe it by faith, but because we've experienced him for ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. For those of you who were here yesterday, weren't it amazing yesterday? Incredible. I said to Anne, I've been here for 10 years now, and that was the most just incredible evening that I've seen here over the past 10 years. Young people on fire for Jesus Christ. Young people coming down to the altar, giving their lives to Jesus Christ. It was incredible. To God be the glory. Amen. But when I was thinking about it, and I was sitting at the front and just watching what was going on, I was saying to myself, wow. When I was younger growing up in church, we could have never have even dreamed of having rappers in church. Back in the day, my church, we would have had all the young people up in suits and ties. 1 hour sermons from the King James Version talking to 6-year-olds. But what I love about yesterday It was just real and authentic. No religious pretense, no performance, but just straight to the point. And weren't that young man's testimony powerful? And that's what hit home, because it was tangible proof and evidence that Jesus had done something miraculous in this young man's life. That's why so many responded to the gospel, because it wasn't just, they weren't just hearing about the Thomases and the disciples of 2,000 years ago, but it was a real life, authentic testimony of what Jesus Christ can do for you today. Amen. Young people displaying the tangible proof and evidence that Jesus Christ is real. Hallelujah. And what I love about yesterday is that the hope of the gospel is so true that even if you find yourself strung out on drugs, even if you find yourself in prison, whatever is your lot, whatever is your situation, there's no pit that Jesus cannot rescue you from. There's no grave that's big enough, wide enough, deep enough that Jesus and his love cannot pull you out of. Maybe there were people there yesterday that didn't understand the rap, but maybe you'll understand an old hymn like me, because I like the old hymns. I'm a young old man. And there's an old hymn that I love that says, I was sinking deep in sin. Same message from the young man that was rapping yesterday, but just a different way of saying it. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. I was verily, verily deeply stained within. I was sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Has anyone ever been lifted out of a difficult and a challenging situation? Has anyone ever been lifted out of the pits of despair? That is what Jesus Christ can do for you. But you've got to get beyond the doubt. You've got to move beyond the fear. And as Jesus said to Thomas, you've got to open your heart and you've got to believe. So number one, where is the proof, Thomas? Jesus said, you want to see proof, tangible, physical proof. And that's okay. Yeah, you can reach out and touch me. But Jesus then went on to say, but blessed are those who will believe in the generations to come. They won't see me physically, but they will believe, and they are blessed. Because believing and having faith doesn't mean that you'll always see the evidence. But that moves on to my second point this morning. Where is your faith? Because in order to believe in the resurrection of Jesus, you need to have faith. Say with me, faith. Now, Jesus says you need to believe by faith. But the question is, what is faith? How do we define faith? Well, Paul tells us the best biblical definition of faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. And faith, Paul says, is substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not yet seen. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a pipe dream. It's not a fictional Disney movie. It's not a nice Netflix sitcom. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is based, Paul says, on substance. It's grounded with evidence. And the way to experience this resurrection that Jesus offers is not always by seeing, but it's by believing through faith. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. We need faith in order to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But some will argue to the contrary that that's ridiculous. You can only have faith in what you see. Seeing must come before believing. Some may argue that no one buys a house without a guided tour of the property first. No one marries someone without first having some tangible evidence to see them face to face and to spend some time with them. Many of you know that I met my wife online. And when we met online and we were talking online, yes, we could see each other on video links and things like that, but I was still a little bit skeptical until I could see Anna in the flesh. And when she came out of the car in Norfolk that day, and I saw Anna with my own eyes, I said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But faith does not always mean that you will see. Yet we still believe. Some will even argue further and say, you don't buy a wedding dress until you go first and have a look and get it fitted. That's all good wisdom, don't get me wrong. But it's interesting that we exercise faith, and even blindly, on a daily basis without even knowing. For example, has anyone here this morning ever been on an aeroplane? Let me see your hand. Let me ask you, for those of you who have been on an aeroplane, did you ever meet with the pilot beforehand? Did you ever sit down before you departed on that flight to have a conversation with the pilot to assess his credentials? Do you know how many flight hours he or she has amassed? Do you know their history in terms of their education? Did you have a conversation to know if they're on any medication? Yet we boarded the flight. We did not ask to see the pilot. We sat down and we believed that we will get from point A to point B safely. You know what that is? Faith. Anyone ever been to the dentist? How many of you had a conversation with a dentist to see his credentials or her credentials? But yet still, you had faith to trust them to go into your very teeth and perform surgical procedures on your teeth. Why? Because by faith, you believe that the dentist knows what they are doing. Anybody here ever ordered a takeaway recently? Let me see your hands. How many of you have ordered a takeaway on Deliveroo recently? Oh, no one uses the Deliveroo or anything? Oh, wow. Oh, we all cook in the house. We're cookers. Yeah, I like that. But it's amazing how people can sit at home and order from Deliveroo. We take the food and we eat it. But the question is, do we know the chef? Have we examined the hygiene of the kitchen? But yet still, we are comfortable to sit down and to eat a meal that we have no idea whose hands have provided it, what they have done, did they wash their hands? We have no recollection, but we will eat the food. I've put someone off Deliveroo now. Here's one final one. This is what we do every day. And this is people say, I've got no faith. No, I'm a person of no faith. But we do all of these things. My last one, illustration. Everyone, for just a moment, please stand up. Please stand up. Thank you. Now, please sit down. I was looking around, and not one of you looked down at the seat to assess whether or not the seat would support you. None of you know where the seat was made. You don't know who put the seat together. But yet still you trust that you could stand up and sit down on the chair. You don't know who made it. You don't know if it's faulty or not. But you sat down because you have faith to know that the seat would support your weight. That is faith. Blind faith is often ridiculed, but yet still we exercise it on a daily basis. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ teaches us, friends, although none of us were there in body, but we can believe by faith, yes, by what we read in the Bible, yes, by the eyewitness accounts from those disciples. And those are some strong, tangible proof. Because some of those disciples were so scared to be there for Jesus at the crucifixion. But it's amazing that those same disciples were now emboldened after they witnessed the resurrection. And they went on to dedicate their entire lives to the cause of Jesus Christ, even to the point of giving their own lives for the gospel's sake. Now, my question is, if the resurrection is fake, who on earth would want to die for something that was fake? Yes. Who would want to go around preaching and proclaiming the name of Jesus if it was all just make-believe, even when the authorities were raining down persecution on them, saying, you better stop preaching Jesus. If you keep preaching Jesus, we're going to throw you in jail. But yet still, they continue to proclaim Jesus. Why? Because they were so sure that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. That is proof. That is evidence. But third and finally, my final point before I close today. Yes, where is the proof, Thomas? Number two, we've got to believe by faith. And yes, faith does not always mean that we will see. But faith does have substance. Faith does have evidence. Why? Because we see the effects of Jesus Christ in our own lives today. But my final call, and especially for those here this morning who still maybe have some questions, who still maybe have a little bit of doubt, my question is this: what will it take for you to believe? Listen again to John chapter 20, verse number 27. Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand, put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. My question is, for Thomas, he had to reach out his hand and to touch and to see for himself. But what will it take for you to believe? There's a wonderful story of John the Baptist when he was going through a very difficult time in his own life. He was in prison under Herod's imprisonment. And although he was the cousin of the Lord Jesus, and he spent most of his formative years preparing the way for Jesus, but he reached a moment in his life where he had some doubts. Why? Because the circumstances in his life, it moved him from faith to doubt. Maybe there's someone else here this morning. You are a believer. Maybe you were a believer, but you, because of the circumstances in life, you felt yourself having some doubts. But John the Baptist, he sent word from prison to Jesus. And he said, I want you to ask Jesus a question. Are you the one, or should we look for another? Now remember, this is the same one who spent his formative years preparing the way for Jesus. baptizing people, preparing for Jesus' arrival. But because of the challenges, because he found himself in persecution, and ultimately he was beheaded. But he sent word, are you the one, Jesus? Or should we look for another? And do you know what Jesus had to say? That I believe ignited his faith again. John, and I say this to everyone else here this morning that has any doubts. Do you see the lame? They're now walking. Do you see the blind? They now have the recovery of their sight. In other words, what Jesus was saying is, you're asking me if I'm the one or if you should look for another, but don't you see what's happening around you? Can't you see the goodness of God at work in people's lives? I know you're going through a hard time, John, but don't allow the difficult times to blind your focus from what God is doing in people's lives. So again, I encourage you, if you have some doubts, just take a look around and see. If you need some further evidence, look up at the stage. I'm here this morning preaching, but I shouldn't be here. Mm-mm. If the devil had his way, I would not be here. You see what the young man was saying yesterday about how gangs and inner city London, gang culture that can take away so many young men and women to a life filled of crime. I'm here to tell you, if it was not for the grace of God, I could have been in prison. I could have been blighted with a criminal record. I'm here this morning, you see me in a suit and a tie, but I'm only here by the grace of God. So if you need some further evidence, look at me, look at all the other examples around this church today. We are not so special, but we serve a God who is able to do exceeding and abundantly. He can take someone who is completely down and out, and he can make something beautiful out of their lives. Amen. We serve a God who can change lives. He can turn people's destinies around. It's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he will do the same for you. What will it take for you to believe? You've got to believe by faith. I'm going to draw this message to a close, but I want to encourage you this morning. What barriers do you have in the way of you experiencing God's love today? And are you willing to be open to seeing for yourself, just like Thomas, that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of the living God? You know, what I love about Thomas often gets blighted as doubting Thomas. Whenever we, 9 times out of 10, if we're talking about Thomas, we will say doubting Thomas. But I don't think that's good, because although, yes, Thomas had some doubts at first, but he went on to say, my Lord and my God. Yes, he had some doubts at first, Miles. But after the doubts, he was able to come to the revelation for himself and say, he's my Lord and he's my God. Maybe there's someone here today, maybe you came in with some doubts. But I believe by faith today, Jesus wants you to experience for yourself and to say for yourself, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, if we're honest, all of us have had doubts at various times in our lives. Just like Thomas, we have pondered why, how. How is it possible? If we're honest, even for those who have been believers for many years, there are times when we have doubted you. There are times when we have questioned whether you're even really hearing us when we pray. If we're honest, we still struggle with questions today. But we thank you that you encouraged Thomas, that blessed are those, yes, that believe by seeing, but blessed are those that will believe even when they don't see. I pray today and even now that you would raise our faith. Even if we have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you can take that little seed and you can make something beautiful out of our lives. So Lord, would you open our hearts now, that as we open the doors of your church, that souls may be saved, that lives may be transformed, that if someone needs to recommit their life to you, that Father, you would minister to our hearts now, that we may respond to your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. He came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth. Our debts. From the cross. From the grave. Lord, I lift. Let's say, he came, you came from heaven to show us the way. Hallelujah. Our debts. From the cross. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. We're going to prepare to close, but on this Easter Sunday, we want to give an opportunity for people to respond to the gospel. I know there's quite a few people here this morning. It can seem daunting at times, but I don't want you to focus on who's to your left or who's to your right. If you need to move from doubter to believer, today is a great opportunity. Like Thomas, you can declare today, my Lord and my God. Is there anyone here today that wants to embrace faith in Jesus Christ? You want to join in with this great band of believers to say, my Lord and my God. Would there be anyone here today that wants to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ? His death, his burial, his resurrection. He loves you and he has a great plan for your life. All you have to do is believe in him by faith. I want you to raise your hand. If you want to know Jesus Christ today, we'd love to pray for you. Please raise your hand if you want to know Jesus Christ today. Would there be one? Would there be one that wants to respond to the gospel? Would there be one? Hallelujah. We're going to wait. We're going to pause. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Would there be one that wants to recommit their life to Christ? Maybe you are a believer, but you strayed away from him. Like John the Baptist, you had some doubts. Maybe you want to recommit your walk with him today. Is there one that wants to recommit their lives to Jesus? Please raise your hand. We'd love to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. My third call is for those who are believers, but you've not yet been baptized. And today, you want to make that next step to be baptized in his name. Those same disciples and apostles, when they went out in the book of Acts, they proclaimed the gospel. And on the day of Pentecost, they said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." And he told them that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone here today that wants to be baptized? Anyone want to be baptized? I see a hand. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Where? Someone at the back there? Yes. You're going to be baptized as well. Amen. Is there another hand? Yes. My sister at the back there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. For those who have raised their hands for baptism, after the service, please come and see me. And we have a baptismal class that's going to be starting next week, Sunday, after the service. Our youth pastor, Ricky, will be leading that session. So after the service next Sunday morning, if you can come, after the service, we'll be meeting right in here for our baptismal class. Amen. God, let's put our hands together for these. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. All right, the worship team are going to come back and close us out with our final song. It's been an incredible weekend, hasn't it? Amen. It's been an incredible weekend. Huh?
I said not next Sunday. So last night we had some very new music taking place in the church. And I just thought we couldn't let Easter morning go by without having some very old music as well. Let's stand and sing together, "Thine Be the Glory."
And this is the peace.
God be the glory. Praise the Lord. I just want to, on behalf of everyone here at SBC, just want to thank you so much for being here today. We've got so many visitors here today. We thank God for you, and we pray that you have been blessed by the service today. And after the service, we do have teas and coffees, or if you want a cold drink, you can get a cold drink as well. And we'd love to fellowship with you, get to know you better. And we're here every Sunday. So 10:30, we're here every Sunday. Amen. We'd love to see you every Sunday. Let me also just say a big thank you to everyone who has served over this Easter weekend. I mean, from Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yesterday was just incredible. And I want to thank our youth pastor and the entire team for the tremendous work that they have done. The social media team, they've been on it all weekend. And everyone who served. The musicians, the AV team, those who've served coffees and teas and prepared the church to make sure it's ready. Everyone's played their part, whether you see them on the stage or not. It doesn't work without willing volunteers who love the Lord and love serving. And I want to say, as your pastor, I am so grateful for each and every one of you. It's a blessing to serve and to serve with like-minded people. Amen?
Amen.
Just to let you know, I will be away this week. So throughout the week, if there's an emergency or any pastoral need, please contact the church office or any one of our deacons, and they will be able to serve you. I will be back here Saturday. Next Saturday, of course, is Alessia's blessing, and you are all welcome. We'll be here again. Remember, what did I say last week? The time. Do you remember? Yeah? All right. So, your lips is sealed, yeah. That's right. They, some of them are here today, so I can't. Yeah. Jamaicans, 2 o'clock, okay? 2 o'clock. All the others, you know what time it is, okay? Yeah. All right. God bless you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for this whole weekend and for the many lives that have given their hearts to you, and now they will walk in the newness of life. To you be all the glory and all the honor. And we pray, Lord, as we depart now from this place, but never from your presence, we thank you that you will be with us, as you promised those disciples in Matthew chapter 28, that lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. So, Lord, as we continue to run this Christian race with patience, would you give us grace? Would you give us strength? And even when we have questions, even when we have doubts, we thank you that we may move from doubter to believer, to say like Thomas, my Lord and my God. Dismiss us now from this place, and until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Well, thank you so much for coming. Have a great week. Have a great week.